to 1 Corinthians 12 tonight, if you want to go and be turning over there. 1 Corinthians 12. And I didn't even think about this morning, but I know we've had a lot of folks who've been out either sick, in quarantine and all that, so it's good to see Brother Kurt, Miss Becky back, Brother Artie, Miss Lily. Glad they're here. Of course, Miss Angie's back with us tonight. Glad you're here. And so I know you'd rather be here as to be sick, that's for sure. Amen. Sickness is no fun. Amen. Now, if you fake being sick to stay home from school, but, you know, we're not going to talk about that. Amen. Because none of y'all ever did that, did you? Amen. All righty. Amen. 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 That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Lord, the Lord has been good to us, that's for sure. Still is. Still is. Amen. Amen. I didn't feel a bit sorry for Brother Kevin and Miss Sharon when they quarantined in 70 and 80 degree weather. I almost thought, man, I'd get sick just to go down there to be with them. It felt a whole lot better. But amen. Amen. We sure are grateful for the goodness of the Lord and thank the Lord for his blessing. So, amen. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to look at trying to figure out, I looked where I wanted to start reading. Let's go ahead and start at verse number 19. We're not going to read the entire chapter. We're going to read just parts of it on down toward the end. Just a couple things I'm going to look at tonight and just do a little more in depth than we did this morning. Well, if you look at verse number 19, it says, let's go to verse 18. That's where the paragraph should start, I guess. But now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts, of course, that word comely just means beautiful. You'll see that used in the Song of Solomon. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lack, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And where the one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Lord, I pray that you take these scriptures tonight. I pray that you'd bless them to our reading, our hearing. Lord, as our brother has asked us to pray, we do pray for your blessing on those special meetings and campaigns, Lord, this coming year. Lord, we are tired of seeing what appears to be the devil winning as far as closing countries and things like that. We know, Lord, that you're greater than the one who's in the world. So, Lord, we're asking that you would do great and mighty things, Lord, through our brother and sister, and that you would bless the efforts that are going out to get the gospel to many. Lord, thank you so much for the words we've heard where folks have been encouraged who were downtrodden and in despair. And, Lord, that you have established what sounds to be like a good, sound, healthy, thriving church. We're grateful for that. Lord, you've done it in one place. You can do it again. And Lord, we think about how sad it is if we were to have that same type of outreach here today. We've pretty well done it with a tent meeting, and not everybody's interested. But Lord, what tough times would have to come for us to be, as a nation, willing to hear again. God, we know what great struggle of faith it would be. And yet, Lord, we know that may be necessary to bring folks back to where they would really and truly want to hear the Word of God. And Lord, we do pray your blessing on Brother Sister Meyer and her ministry. Pray the blessing on the Word tonight. And ask you, God, just to help us this evening to get across what you'd have us get across, and that, Lord, we could hear your voice in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, this morning, we looked at this particular text, and what we did is we tried to emphasize in our text The emphasis on the individual. Give me just one second here. There we go. We try to emphasize the individual. In fact, let's look at a couple of those verses. Look at verse number 7 with me, if you will. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Now, what are the next three words? To every man to profit withal. Verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Verse number 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the bodies that hath pleased him. What we've done is we spend a little time looking at the fact that you are needed. God has given you a gift. He's given you a particular set of abilities that we've talked about. Remember, we said this, that it's for the use of the service of the body. So let's look at those just again real briefly. Number one, we talked about, and this was from last week, we talked about our endowments, our gifts, what God has endowed us with. God has wired us all differently. He's placed different abilities, etc., in our lives to use for Him. So that's what we're born with. Number two, we talked about our education. We talked about the way that God's trained us, not just in public education or trade school or whatever. And I think I may have even omitted this one this morning now to think about it. But we need to talk about education in the church. You know, there are some churches, they are so large, they have what, for lack of a better term, a minister of education. And what they do, that person oversees the Sunday school. And it's not that we're doing things just kind of haphazard, doing what we want, because we're using some good curriculum for the young people, etc. But there are ones who try to put, and I, you know, our home church does this, everybody's on the same page. You know, go through the same scriptures, have the same lessons. So what the young folks learn, let's say who are in the 5- and 6-year-old, 8-year-old class, the 10, 11, 12-year-old class, the 15, 16-year-old class, the 20, 22, 23-year-old, and then the old heads. I mean, everybody is, and I say that because I'm an old head, right? We're all learning the same lesson. And so some folks, when we talk about education, we don't need to forget what we have done here at the church as far as the Faith Bible Institute and things like that, what we've learned in Sunday school, some of the special emphases that we've had in learning. So God's blessed us with our gifts, our endowments, our education, and then our own experience. All of that makes up who we are. And I think I mentioned this before, but whenever I was pre-med, one of the things that we were taught is that the thing that sets apart a physician, a medical doctor, from anybody else in the medical profession is that everything, whether it's like an OBGYN, usually general practice, is at least 3 years of internship and residency. Some are 5, some are as many as 7. And so you have that time, and what you do, you're basically a slave to the hospital, and you're there all the time learning and seeing and visiting and diagnosing and treating, all of those things. And that is really where your trial by fire comes in to be a physician. You've got the education, but until you take that and you apply it, you really have not earned what many folks would call, in our own mind, a right to be able to be a physician. I mean, I know you've heard the story. What do you call the fellow who graduates at the very bottom of his medical class? Doctor. Right. But until he gets to that place and learns and ministers, if you will, he can't be an effective practitioner. And if you and I do not take our education that we've learned here and apply it, we're not going to be as effective. And then that's where we get down to the idea of experience. So God's blessed with experience. So we said this today, we need to exercise that gift. So whatever God's given you to do, exercise it. Now I felt like I was running really well, and all of a sudden I just lost the momentum. So y'all pray. It was there, and it was kind of gone. So, but we talked about exercising our gifts, and then we talked about the reason we do that is to edify. I want to concentrate just for a little bit on that last portion where we talked about edifying, and I want to spend a little time with that. And because in the passages that we've looked at, I want to look at about 4 statements here. I've got 4 statements that I want to look at tonight in the text that we've read in regard to what we've had today. So I know some folks weren't here this morning, but just kind of get in the best way that you can, and we're going to look at that. So I want to look first of all at verse number 24 and just take a moment. It says, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered," watch this, "the body together and hath given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That goes back to verse number 7, 11, and 18, where the Spirit gives to every man. And verse 18, God sets the members in the body, every one, as it's pleased Him. So what we've looked at is what I want to call this a statement of fact. A statement of fact. Now, what do I mean by that? God, listen, has given gifts to men. And when I say men, I'm talking about mankind in general. And He gives them as He sees fit. Now, every one of us has a gift. Now, I know sometimes we joke and say, well, I don't have a gift. My gift is, you know, I have the gift of sarcasm. You know, you heard that. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. I'm just letting you know. You know, that's one of my that's one of my many talents is being able to, you know, joke around or whatever. And we joke about not having a gift. But when we really get serious about it, we've got to admit that the Scripture is right. And I want you to look at it one more time. Verse 18, but now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Go up to verse number 7 again. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So what I want us to understand tonight, you have a gift. Preacher, I don't have a gift. So here's what you're saying. If you tell me I don't have any kind of a gift, I have no gift at all, you're telling me that the Bible's incorrect. Because that's what you just told me. Preacher, I don't have a gift. Well, guess what? Then the Bible's wrong, God's a liar, and, you know, none of us would want to say that. And a lot of times when we say we have no gift, there are reasons for it. Maybe we're afraid to use it. Maybe we've tried to do something before, and it's been like, you know, won't let you use it. I'll mention this because, you know, I just mentioned it. Somebody said, well, I would like to help more with the pitch-ins. Somebody who used to come to church here said, I want to help more with the pitch-ins. I want to do that. Well, why is it that every time we'd have a pitch-in, you'd walk out the door and wouldn't stay? Well, the pastor hasn't asked me to help. I'm asking everybody to help. First Sunday of every month, it's always there. It's going to stay that way till Jesus comes. Amen. That's right. Always there. It's always there. Now, that person's not in the building tonight, so I'm not talking about it. But here's what I want us to understand is that people say, well, I don't have a gift. Well, if you have an ability and you've been asked to use it, use it. Maybe what needs to happen is just go ahead and do it and be done with it. Go ahead and take charge and do it. And I've mentioned this before, but if a light bulb needs changing, change it. You know, I remember in our old church years ago, this has been 25 years ago, somebody went down, I think they might have painted something in the men's restroom, and it made one of those old heads mad. And I still remember that business meeting. I make a motion. Nobody does anything to the church until we vote on it as a church. Well, how about we just go ahead and vote every time someone takes the trash out? How about we have a motion? Sir, I hate to bring this up after church tonight, preacher. We've had a great time. But I noticed that one of the toilet paper rolls is like down to the little cardboard thing, you know? And so could we get a motion of the church to switch out a new toilet paper roll? It was almost that bad. It was almost that bad. Amen. Amen. And, of course, you know, my generation, they put ice cream in them things and you pushed them up and ate them. That's right. That's right. I'm showing my age to you now. That's right. Amen. Yeah, man. That's right. Amen. So when we talk about gifts, we talk about gifts. Number one, it is a fact every saved, born-again child of God has a gift. Okay? That means Charity, my 9-year-old, who has made a profession of faith in Christ, God has already equipped her with a gift. All right? Now, it's not like she's going to be in the same influential leadership place as some of you older ladies who are constantly doing something like teaching and, you know, doing some of the other things that the ladies would do as far as like making an example for the young people. She's in the learning stage. So while everybody's got a gift, not everybody is prepared to use it just yet, because we talked about not just our endowments, but there's a time for education, there's a time to get some experience. Okay? But I want to say this as a statement of fact. You know, we may have trouble discerning our gift, but that's where that little evaluation that we handed out comes in. And like I said, if you didn't get one, I printed one off here to where we can run some copies off tonight after we are finished this evening. So We want to make you do it. So that will help you to determine this. Number one, there's a statement of fact. But I want you to look at verse number 25. So God's put folks in the body. He's tempered the body. He's put people in the body as he sees fit. Look at verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body. Now, you may have heard that pronounced schism if you've ever listened to Alexander Scorby. But, you know, we're just going to use the what I call the common pronunciation. Of course, the Greek word is schismata, schism in the body. But that the members should have the same care one for another. So, number one, we've looked at a statement of fact. There is a fact that everybody has a gift. But if you look at verse 25, that is a statement of purpose. That is a statement of purpose. Let's read it again. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Now, what do I mean by a statement of purpose? Why does God give gifts? Why does he give them? Well, it's interesting, if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, we're not going to turn over there tonight, Paul talks about how that, now it's been declared unto me, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there be divisions among you. And he talks about how there's a group of people, they're sitting on this side of the church, said, whoa, hey, I'm of Paul. This group over here says, no, I'm of Cephas. Okay? Group back over there says, hey, we're following the orator, we're following Apollos. And then you got those real super spiritual ones sitting all by themselves, we just follow Jesus. Okay? That's who you got. You got four different groups of people there. And when you have four different groups of people in a church who are congregating around a personality, what you have is a church that is not in unity. And for a church to do what it needs to do, it has got to be in unity. And so if we look here tonight at Corinth, he says that there should be no schism in the body. It's interesting. And we don't have time to go back and look at all of 1 Corinthians. One of the problems is they've got too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Amen. Amen. They want to do their own thing. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. How come is it every one of you hath a tongue, hath a psalm, hath a doctrine? I mean, everybody's got something. It's almost like you'd almost have to take numbers and feel like, all right, well, we're going to have three or four of these today. And everybody has. And I wish there were more to do. More. I wish we had to like rotate people through on the singing. I wish we could. It would be wonderful to do that. But one of the things that was the problem in Corinth is people were doing it to exhibit their gift so that people would look at them and say, man, look who I am. I didn't wear my suspenders today. If I had them, I'd just snap them. And like, hey, look at me. Remember little Jack Horner sitting in the corner eating his Christmas pie, stuck in his thumb, pulled out a plum. What'd he say? What a good boy am I. And that's exactly the way people were acting in Corinth. They wanted people to look at themselves thinking they had done something. It wasn't them doing anything. It was the Spirit of God who had given them a gift to use. But they were using it not to glorify God, but to glamorize self. And so if we look at this statement of purpose, we find out that the reason that God has given gifts to men in this passage, this verse here, is twofold. It's got a dual purpose. Now, really, ultimately, I'm going to give you the ultimate reason. Anytime we do anything, the ultimate reason, without saying, outside of the text, even if the text doesn't mention it, the ultimate reason we do anything and everything is for one ultimate purpose, and that is for what? The glory of God. And the Bible doesn't have to say, do it for the glory of God in every single verse for that to be the reason. That's always the reason, all right? Always the reason. But specifically in the context, if you look at verse number 25, we have these gifts. Everybody, watch this. This is almost counterintuitive. You've got a gift, you've got a gift, you've got a gift, you've got a gift. Everybody's got a gift. But the reason everybody has a different set of gifts, we looked at the differences of administration, operation, those things, the different ministry, the ability. Even with those who have a similar gift, there are differing abilities. Based on education, based on experience, based on how God's blessed. But it's interesting, all those different gifts, look at verse number 25, is that there should be no schism in the body. The word schism means division. God gives the gifts, differing gifts of people, so that there's unity. That seems counterintuitive. Wouldn't be the first time God goes against human reasoning. Amen. God has gifted us with different gifts so that there's unity. What in the world do you mean? Watch this. I can't do X, but Brother John and Miss Maria can. I can't do Y, but Brother Kurt and Miss Becky can. You see what I'm saying? I can't do A, B, or C, but somebody else can do that task. That task that I've talked about needs to be done. And for the church to go forward and have unity and do what it needs to do, those folks have got to exercise their God-given gifts and abilities before we as a church can take the next step. So watch this. Brother John, Miss Maria, Brother Kurt, Miss Becky, or whoever else, and I'm just picking on y'all tonight. Amen. Yeah, it's y'all's turn. If they don't do the task and use their gift that they should, guess what happens to the church? Dun, 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 dun.
Put it in first. Drop the clutch. We ain't going nowhere. We're spinning our tires. We're spinning our wheels. We're not doing anything. If we don't operate and every one of us do our gifts together, we are not going to go forward. We can't do it. Some folks have got to move self aside. And when I say that, many of us are self-conscious. This is, look, let me tell you, this is not me. I didn't mind getting up in front of a group of people when I was younger, but it was not one of those things that like, hey, can I do it? Can I get up in front and make the class speak? I didn't want to do that necessarily. They're like, well, okay, do you want to come and work on this particular project where we're going to do a public speaking, or do you want to go down to the field to play ball? I don't have to flip a coin. I know which one I'm going to do. I'm going to go play ball, praise God. That's what I want to do. That's just how it is. But if we don't get out of our comfort zone, I feel like the Lord's helping us tonight. If we don't get out of our comfort zone and allow God to put us into a place where we're not comfortable, but we're going to be more useful for His glory and the church would go on, that's where we've got to be for the glory of God. Amen. I should have gotten a house full of amens, but some of y'all were afraid to amen because it means getting out of your comfort zone. Because it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. Amen. And so, I mean, we're talking tonight. I'd love to see God do a work in here. We've had folks come in and visit and then not come back. Folks come in and visit, not come back. What's going on? What's the deal? I mean, I told the folks, the men in the prayer room tonight, I said, I know there's a balance somewhere in the middle. But if you're going to be unfriendly, or you're going to be as friendly as a wet dog, be the wet dog. Amen. We've got to figure out how God wants us to do and what He wants us to do. But for us to go forward and have no division, every one of you has got to do the job God has gifted you to do. While I'm doing my job to lead, to preach, and to feed, all those things, and we do it by working conjuntos together. Amen? Amen. That's right. Amen. Sometimes it just comes out, sis. It just does. Amen. We work together. We work together. So that's number one. That's the dual purpose. But I've not, you know, but wait, there's more. Number one, look at verse 25. God's given the gifts. That's a statement of fact. And here's the statement of purpose. Number one, that there should be no schism in the body. And this is connected with that, the statement of purpose. But that the members, look at these words, I want you to read them with me, should have the same care one for another. The same care. Now, if anybody in here has dropped the ball on that, you're looking at it. If it was not for people telling me certain people are in the hospital, I mean, there are people who are here tonight. I've not gotten a text from the family saying we're not here because of X, Y, or Z. I've not gotten that at all. I mean, I hear, you know, people are sick, people doing this, people out of town, whatever, and that's fine. But if it weren't for people telling me where folks are at, I'd be just as ignorant of what was going on in somebody's life as, you know, someone who's outside of the church. The word care here means just like what it says. Now, when it's translated in our Bible, it can carry with it the idea of anxiety. Be careful for nothing. It's the same word. But the context here of care is concern. Yeah. It's concern. We ought to be concerned about one another. We ought to be. And I'm telling you, there are times where our concern has just shown forth in a great way. Okay? I'm just going to throw out one illustration, one instance for this. But when Brother Artie got COVID after somebody brought it into Jubilee, that concerned me in a great way. Brother Artie, I'm going to tell you, I was scared. I was scared. All right? And the reason God blessed Brother Artie in part was because there were scores, no doubt, of prayers that went up for Brother Artie, Miss Lily during that time, and God blessed and had mercy, to use Paul's words, lest we should have sorrow upon sorrow. So we were unified in praying for Brother Artie. Praise God. That's right. We were unified in that. We were unified. We prayed and asked God to have mercy. And thank God, God had mercy. Thank you, Lord, for having mercy on Brother Artie. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I reckon it ain't quite time for an electric guitar in heaven, praise God. But that's all right. We're fine with it. We're fine with keeping it right here. We're fine with keeping it right here. But here's the thing I want us to think about tonight is, what about our care and our concern? How are we using our gifts in care and concern? Well, preacher, I'm just not wired that way. I'm just big and tough and all that. Well, you can be big and tough all you want. God's wired you and me, amen, with the gift of having a little bit of sympathy with somebody. Now, some of y'all don't want any sympathy or don't like to give sympathy. Okay? Amen. 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 Some of y'all aren't getting any sympathy.
So I'm going to have to run down here and say, yes, amen. You're right. You're exactly right. All right.
Amen.
How can I say this? I left my bandana up yonder. How can I say this? In our day and time, we're live streaming. I'm not saying it in any way to reflect on any individual, but I'm gonna say it because it needs saying. Sometimes people come into the church, they're here for a while, and then they go. Sometimes people come in and they're here for a long time and then they're gone. But here's the thing. I wonder how many of us, we've read 1 Corinthians 12. We could probably teach it in a Bible study. But I wonder how many of us, and I say us, have put a wall around our feelings. Because we've been hurt before. And where do you get hurt anywhere else? I mean... Yeah, I'm not talking about falling, getting hurt at Walmart. Not talking about that. Where do people get hurt? They get hurt in two places. They get hurt by family in the house, in their home, or they get hurt by their church family. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Now I'm going to let you in on a secret. Listen to me. One day I'm going to let you down. One day I'm going to do it. I've done it in the past. I'll do it. Next week, I may do it. Some of these days, I'm going to let you down again, okay? Now, let me go ahead and remind everybody else on this little secret. Y'all are going to let each other down. You know how I know that? Because you're made out of the same junk that I'm made out of. And that's our nature. But I wonder how many of us have put up a wall where we show no emotion, we don't want to become attached to people, because at some point in time, we know they're going to hurt our feelings. Amen. Let me say this. We ought to care and love for one another. You ought to. If there's something that I know bugs somebody, I don't need to do it. Okay. Amen. If I know that there's something that gets under somebody's nerves and I,
I don't need to ag it on. I just need to stop because that's being spiritually immature on my part. That's right. That's right. If someone comes to you and says, brother, sister, I'd appreciate if you wouldn't do that anymore, and you continue doing that, you are a spiritual bully. And ain't none of that in my notes, but I'm, help us, Lord. You and I have got to be a place where we exercise care for somebody. How about putting others ahead of ourselves and putting them first? That's the Christian attitude. That's the Christian attitude. Brother Mike hinted on it today. When you go look at that feeding of the 5,000, in the context of the ministry and the life of Christ, you'll see where he had sent the 70 out, I believe it was, to go out and preach, and they'd gone out and preached, and they're coming back. He's debriefing, like, come yourselves apart into a desert place and what? Rest a little while. But then the multitude comes around him, and he's starting to heal other people. They start to follow him, and it's not long after that until, you know, we have a lot of people fed. Now, I've heard it said before, basically, if you stop and take a break in the ministry, you're lazy, you're a bum, you're no good. And I felt like there were times where I was trying to make up for somebody else's lost time because they were driving so hard, I didn't have enough time to rest. Okay? And I probably have bucked against that to the point to where I don't even want to bother people anymore, but there is ministry that we're going to have to do as a church as far as getting out and knocking on doors and rubbing shoulders with people and all the rest of that. But the thing we got to realize is this: there may come a time when we are going to be personally inconvenienced, but someone else's spiritual needs will need to come first before our own personal convenience does. Now, I hate saying that because here's what it does. It inconveniences me. You see, you know why? Because my schedule is more important than anybody else's schedule. My time is more important than anybody else's time. And I'm voicing from in the first person what many folks have not voiced in the first person. But we've all felt, probably all have felt at one time or another. Probably all have felt. So here's the thing. God expects us to use our gifts to bless the church, but it's to be, watch this, because we should have the same care one for another. How much care do we have? How much care do we have? Amen. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, folks will do what they want to do. And I know some folks have actually put in phone calls for folks who aren't here now and trying to find out what's going on. And people make up their minds. I understand that. And there's nothing we can do about folks who have got their minds made up to do a particular thing. But maybe for folks who are sick, who haven't been here, trying to encourage somebody to come in. You know, there needs to be some of that. There needs to be some of that. And here's the problem. When I preach that to you, I am the blackest dog in the bunch. Because again, my time and my schedule are more important, and I don't have time, you know. I mean, I'm going to look at myself in the mirror and like, hey, old boy, who in the world do you think you are? Who are you? Who in the world do you think you are, Jack? You're nobody, and you need to remember that. Y'all forgive me for being pertinent, that's true. But here's the thing. You and I have been given gifts to bring unity to the church. We ought to show forth our care by using those gifts inside the church building, outside the church building. Now, I'm talking in the context of the local church here, but this goes when you go visit another church somewhere else. Anytime our church goes somewhere else, here it is, you know the story, we close the church down. We're the last ones there. Our folks love to fellowship with other people. I needed to go home one night, and it was Brother Wood who was here way back when, and we stayed out here till it was, I guess it was like after, it was 11:45 when we left. Now, I know not everybody can do that because folks get up and go to work on Monday morning. Sometimes, usually Monday's the day I kind of like, try to get a break. I just do mostly reading, stuff like that. I get that. But if it's a Wednesday night, a Thursday night, Friday night, a lot of times our church closes something down because we go there to fellowship and enjoy just the blessings of God. And one of the blessings is God's people. We enjoy being around each other. I mean, let me simply say this. I know, and I'm not preaching anybody in here tonight, not preaching anybody, but I have seen what we would call drag race Christians. Y'all know who they are, right? Drag in. And as soon, and I'm telling you, there's some folks I could time, they were outside the door within 2 or 3 minutes. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it unapologetically, and if it hurts your feelings, it hurts your feelings. If that is your attitude toward the church family, you don't love the church family, you don't love God, how can you love your neighbor if you don't love God? I mean, it's bluegrass songs, it's gospel, right? I mean, you know, amen, amen. But when folks come in, they have no desire to fellowship with God's people. They want to get out and go back to eat somewhere. They want to do this, want to do that. I'm going to tell you, I had several churches ask me to pastor years ago. I would go to the church, and the church would be empty in 5 minutes after the service was over, and maybe one person talked to me. I'm like, my wife, I ain't pastoring this church. They don't love each other. Amen. Now, I know sometimes people have got food on the table and all that, but I'm not going to cover all that ground. I want you to be mature enough to where it's like the preacher knows that I've got family coming and all this and all that other. I get that. I know it, but I'm not going to deal with all that. But what I'm dealing on is this, that we've got to use our gifts to be unified in the church. Ain't none of that in my notes. I'm telling you, ain't none of that in my notes. Let me just give you an example just within the church. This is just general. This is nothing like, oh, gosh, here we go. No, it's nothing like that. Nothing like that, all right? But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we already said this. Everyone has a song. Everyone's got a psalm. Everyone's got a doctrine. I've all got to show off myself. I've got to do it, and I've got to do me, and I've got to get up and do my thing, and I've got to speak in my tongue so people can see that I've got the gift, but nobody's here to interpret, so it doesn't edify anybody. Paul said, I'd rather speak 5 words that were understandable than to speak, you know, 1,000, 10,000 in an unknown tongue. Let's stop for a minute. Let's look at our services just for a second. God has gifted people. Look, I'm going to use this as an illustration. Nowhere does it talk about music being a gift that God gives to use. Doesn't say that. But I'm going to use that as the illustration, all right? We got folks who can play instruments, folks who can sing. We come into church, you've had a hard time. It's been a tough day. Sometimes the best services I've ever been in are on Wednesday night when people are tired, people are wore out, and God just blows through that place, and you feel like you can get up and go another mile. Amen. We come in and we sing the songs of Zion. We sing them with zeal. The Spirit of God blesses them. Okay? And the Lord comes by and He blesses folks' heart in the congregational singing. Maybe it makes you feel like, man, I wish, you know, Brother Kurt, I know you're a tough guy. You know, I wish Brother Kurt had a different job where he could be here on Wednesday night because I know this is where Brother Kurt would want to be. Amen. You can shoot me after service if you want to, brother. So, amen. And it makes you miss the folks who aren't here. It makes you grateful for the folks who are. And your heart's just lifted up in just appreciation to God. Brother Artie gets up and he sings. And man, it just blesses your heart. I mean, it's just like it takes you back and you think about some things God has done. And he sung the same song 100 times, but this time God just puts a special touch on it. Dixie and the girls, they get it to Savannah. Maybe when Hannah and the rest of them are here, Sarah and Charity and Miss Ashley, they get up here and they sing. And for some reason, man, it's just like God just passes through. And I've been in services like that where the only thing you can do, the only right thing to do, and you can say what you want to, say, preacher, I disagree with you. That's fine. You can be wrong if you want to. The only thing that you can do is just stop for a minute, talk a little bit about what the Scripture says about the love of God and kind of what we're doing here tonight, and let folks take a few minutes and hug each other's neck and tell them they love and appreciate them. Amen. There are folks that we used to go to church with, if they died tomorrow, I would not feel bad not having talked to them in a long time. And the reason being is because I put a few roses in their hands while they were alive, while they were able to hear. And I told them I loved them. I told them I appreciate them. I told them how grateful I was for them. I gave them some roses to enjoy while they were alive, because they ain't there enjoying whatever flowers around. They're rejoicing in the presence of God at a funeral. And there's nothing wrong with you going up and hugging somebody's neck and telling them I love you and appreciate you. And if somebody comes up to you and says, I love and I appreciate you, don't be a spiritual jackleg and say, no, I know. I mean, just accept it, for crying out loud. Let somebody love on you. Amen. Let somebody love on you. And what folks are doing, they're using those gifts to bless others. They're using those gifts. Amen. And so what we do here, there is a statement of purpose. God gives gifts that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but there should be some care. Now that care goes outside of the church building. So if we run into somebody at the store and they're dragging some stuff out and need extra help with groceries, it might be, the windshield might be 25 below zero. I'll help you get your groceries in your car. Amen. In fact, you ought to do that. Some handicapped person coming out there, they're parking up there and their mother, help them get their stuff in their vehicle. Amen. Get them in there and say, the Lord's blessed us with good weather in the summer. Makes us to appreciate it. Drop a little word about the goodness of God and walk on in. You never know what that'll do. Show mercy to those in need. So there's a statement of purpose. Now I want you to look at verse number 26. And this actually carries into what we've been talking about tonight. Look at 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. There's a statement of fact. Everybody's got a gift. There's a statement of purpose. God gives the gifts that there's no division. We should care for each other. But let me give you this here too. This is a statement of feeling. It's a statement of feeling. If you look at verse 26, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer. One member honor, all the members rejoice. There's a statement of faith. Some people say this, and I've been guilty of this. I don't care how you feel. Okay? Now, I'm not Ben Shapiro. He's an unsaved Jew. He needs to be born again by the grace of God. Amen. But there's a lot of good things that he says, and like, you know, your biology doesn't care about your feelings. I'll say this again. Any man who thinks he's a woman, he needs some help. Amen. Any woman who wants to butch it out and be a man, she needs some help. Amen. Amen. What would you tell that woman? Put the oven on 350. Amen. That's the way it works. Amen. That's right. Amen. It's exactly right. I know folks don't like it, but I just stay man. Amen. And sir, you don't need to be a woman. This moron out there, they call him a her. Transgender. I'm ranked 424th in the world in swimming, but I'm number one in women's sports. You are a cheap chump coward. It's exactly what you are. You're a coward. Amen. If you was in here, I'd say it to you, right, look at you right in your God-given eyeball. You're a coward. I swim like a rock, but you're still a coward. Amen. That's right. It's a statement of feeling. The product of unity, this is a product of unity, but I want to pull it out because I know we spent a lot of time on this, and I could actually stop tonight, but I feel like I want to push on here a little bit. When one member rejoices, every one of us ought to rejoice. When you have a family member that you've been praying for, and they finally get saved, amen, we ought to rejoice. I mean, maybe I've got a family member I'm praying for, and I'm wanting God to do something about it, but when somebody else has a family member who gets saved, we ought not just sit around and just kind of like, well, God answered their prayer and answered mine. Let's rejoice. Amen. Let's rejoice. When folks surrender in the church to do the Lord's work, the whole church should rejoice. You mean, but that means they're going to be missionaries, they're going to go to the other side of the world. Rejoice! They're right where God wants them to be. Right. Amen. Amen, that's right. Maybe somebody's family member, they gets out of the hospital. Amen. I mean, Brother Artie gets out of the hospital, we're rejoicing, praise God. Amen. There ought to be some happiness going on. There ought to be some jubilation. There needs to be some returning of thanks to God. Well, I'm just not an emotional preacher. Well, how about I come over there and I take my bare hand and I smack you around a little bit. I'll see how emotional, non-emotional you are. Amen, that's right. I just don't show my emotions. I guarantee you, you'll show some emotion. And it won't be rejoicing. When someone's business is successful, they've started a new business venture and God's put his hand on it, we ought to rejoice. You say, well, they're making 10 times more than I am. Praise God, they're making 10 times more than you are because they tithe more than you do. If they're right with God. And if they don't, they're not right with God. They're cheating God, robbing God. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. That's exactly right. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Somebody has a new baby, a new grandbaby. Someone's adopted a baby. We ought to rejoice with them. We ought to rejoice with them. How about somebody who's got a family member, a friend, a neighbor, or whatever it is, maybe a church member. They've been out in sin for a long time, but then they finally walk through the door. They walk through the door, they come in weeping, they bow before God. And I remember there was a young woman in our church years ago. She was expecting a baby out of wedlock, and she got up in front of the church and she said, I am so sorry for what I've done. And I remember some of those older folks coming over there and hugging her neck saying, we are so glad that you're back and we love you. That was a wonderful experience for me to see, because it showed me that while there may be Pharisees in churches somewhere, in this instance, there weren't any Pharisees. Praise God. That's right. Amen. We ought to rejoice with those who rejoice. But we need to weep with those who weep. When there's a loved one who's died, we need to weep with folks. And listen to me. In either case, but especially in this case, if we've put that wall around us where we don't want to become attached to people, when someone else has a loved one die, it doesn't bother you. I want to say this, it ought to bother us. That loved one is in eternity. If they are saved, they're in the presence of God. If they are unsaved, they are scratching the charred walls of a burning hell and will never get out. We ought to weep with those who weep. We need to. If there's a loss of any kind, we ought to be gracious and try to help folks out and weep with those. Sometimes we don't have to have words of wisdom. Used to years ago, I thought, man, I've got to have the right word. I've got to have the right verse. I've got to have the right thing to say. I need to have that right verse to bring out. You know, sometimes the best thing to do is just to be there, put a hand on somebody's shoulder, and not say a word. Sometimes the wisest thing you can say is just to stay in silence. Now, at the same time, we need to be really careful. And I'm guilty of this, okay? I'm guilty of saying this, all right? So I'm shooting at me. But I've had people come up and say, you know, somebody's died, and they'll say, we're sorry for your loss. And somebody's super spiritual. Well, praise God, I know where they're at, and I ain't lost them. Okay, good. Pick up your phone, Jack, and call them. I want to talk to them since you know where they're at. Come on, super spiritual giant. Pick up the phone. Come on, talk to them. Let me hear their voice. You know, we talked about folks using their gifts, but this morning we closed out with this thought that we need to allow people to use their gifts to bless us. If you and I don't want to let somebody use their gifts to bless us, that's because we are lifted up in pride and we don't feel like we're in need of help. You're looking at a fellow who's needy. And I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret. I'm looking at a group of people. And this group of people is needy. We're all needy. Not me, preacher. You're the neediest of the bunch. That's exactly right. Let's be real kind and gracious. Let's not be corrective. There are some people, they correct everything somebody else says because they didn't cross every T and dot every I. Why don't you just let folks be a blessing to you and say things, understand the gist of what they said without letting them cross every T and dot every I. I could get up and I could correct, I couldn't tell you how many people because they didn't say it just right. But what good is that going to be? Look, I'm not some spiritual hall monitor who is going around slapping people on the hand for not doing just the words just right. Sometimes we've got to just sit back and let folks grow, let them say what they need to say, and let folks express sympathy, express rejoicing. They may not always get it right, Now, don't get me wrong. There are times I pulled folks aside and I've said, brother, here's what you said. We probably ought to say it a little bit differently this way. And you try to help somebody that way. But when you do that simply all the time, looking for the negative, looking for the negative, looking for the negative, brother, eventually, sister, ain't nobody gonna want to sit with you at dinner because all you can do is be negative. Amen. But here's the thing. We come together to weep with those who weep. How can you weep with those who weep? Well, you take part in their sorrow. That doesn't mean you come alongside and shed the exact same amount of tears as they shed. But if somebody's going through a hard time, it may be just you sending them a text, one of you ladies sending one of the other ladies a text who's having a hard time saying, I love you and I'm praying for you, the sun's going to shine again. Or in my Bible reading, I came across this verse and the Lord laid you on my heart, and you send that to them. I know things like that have gone on from folks in church. Yes, that's good. Some people do that. Here's how you weep with those who weep you serve. And we do that as a church. Somebody dies. Folks come into the church. They prepare a meal. And when after the funeral, folks come in and they eat. We serve that way. They'll clean the house. They'll watch children. Somebody's sick. Somebody has a baby. You take them food. It's nice. It is awfully nice. There are times after, I mean, when Charity came home, it was like, and I know it sounds selfish, it's like, man, I wish somebody'd bring us some food because, you know, I'm tired of Chef Boyardee. And I like ravioli, but my lands, I don't want to eat it every night, you know. There are times when hot meals say I love you and I am taking part in your sorrow or your happiness more than anything else. That does that. But here's the thing I want you to see this tonight, because this is a statement of feeling. I do care about your feelings. Now, if the truth comes out and it hurts people's feelings, sometimes our feelings do need to be hurt. And I get that, understand that. But if a preacher gets up and like, bless the Lord, I can preach John 3:16 and preach it negative. Well, if you're going to preach John 3:16 negative, sir, I don't want you preaching in my pulpit. I'm not going to be a member in your church. If that's all you can do is preach negative. Hey, man, hallelujah, good preaching, preacher. Hey, man. That's right. I mean, I like being gun barrel straight. I like it tight. But, brother, sometimes you got to realize that God didn't call you to be negative. Amen. Well, the Bible tells us to me to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, and two-thirds of that's negative. Well, you're probably spending 95% of your time on two-thirds, so your math is way out of balance, Jack. Amen. And besides that, there are more verses that talk about the pastor's calling, like he's supposed to be apt to teach. So I'm kind of wondering how that works into your pseudo-mathematical equation. Amen, that's right. Amen, that's right. Yeah, take the derivative of that. So, when we talk about a statement of feeling, we've had a statement of fact, a statement of purpose, and a statement of feeling. I want to say this tonight. None of what I've talked about, rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep, is going to happen in any spiritual significance if you and I disconnect ourselves from the body. Amen. If we disconnect ourselves from the body. Some folks don't want a pastor, they just want a preacher. Come in, let me preach to me, and let me leave and go do my thing. I mean, I preached it before. I said it up here, pour my heart out one Sunday and said, God wants you here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He wants you there in Sunday school. Amen. And people say, well, we just don't want to hold the church back. Oh, so you're not going to do what you're supposed to do. So you're going to come in, take a leadership position, play an instrument, but you're not going to show up to Sunday school. That's not being a leader. Amen. Send them the link. Amen. I'm not trying to be ugly. But here's the thing. It's like, I've got that. That's Corinthian behavior. I'm going to show off my gift. But I don't want to get involved in other people's lives. Look, friend, I need to be involved in your life, and you need to be involved in mine. That's love.
And any time we love each other, I know you're not going to believe this. This is going to kill you. I know this is going to kill you. But there have been times when my wife and I have had cross words with each other. I know you can't believe it. And I know you realize she's wrong many times. I know you know that. I get it. All right? And if I want her to know that, I'll tell her. She'll talk to me and she'll say, "You're right, honey." And I tell her I generally am. You ask her. I tell her that. How come y'all ladies ain't laughing? Yeah. I'm brave 360 miles away. Isn't that right? That's it. Amen. But here's the thing. When you love somebody, you're going to have crosswords with each other. I've had to go to people in this church and apologize because I had crosswords with them. Not you. Well, of course, yeah, me. I've had to do that. I've had to apologize to my children. I've apologized more to my children than they've ever apologized to me. I guarantee you I have. I've not done this right. I've not done that right. I didn't say this the right way. I apologize. Well, I never apologize to my children. Well, watch them turn around and run away and never. I don't want what mom and dad's got because they don't ever apologize when they're wrong. They're never wrong. Oh, boy. You can't apologize to your children when they deserve an apology. You got a pride issue. Ma'am, you can't apologize. There's an issue, a heart problem you got to deal with. Right. Amen. Right. But if you and I disconnect ourselves from the body, we're never going to have the type of relationship with each other we ought to have. Never going to have it. And I know I've been up, not quite an hour. I'm going to finish up. When folks neglect the house of God, and they have the option to be here, but choose other things. They could very well be here. It's in their time, but they don't want to do it. They'll never know what it's like to be fully connected to a place where they pour themselves in the best they can. Amen. We're just being personal. Brother Kirk, you and I have talked. You'd be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all the time if you could. Your job just prevents you. I know that. I know you'd be here. I know that. Okay, I know that. And here's the thing. You pour yourself in as much as possible. In times we've had to have AC and stuff worked on and other things, little things here. You've been a blessing to me, pouring into me, and I appreciate that. And you're helping as much as possible. But there are some folks who could pour, but they're too stingy because they don't want to pour themselves into something. Folks who do not understand what it's like, do not. And see, used to, Christian neighbors, even in our neck of the woods down in Tennessee, I've heard stories of ladies taking their washboards down to the neighbor's house who was sick or just had the baby and washing their clothes for her husband, for her youngins. And this was back in the days of cloth diapers, friend. Amen. That's right. Scrub. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. That's right. Amen. Now, some of y'all, that's not an instrument, okay? That's not an instrument, all right? All right, Briscoe, it's not a jug, all right? It's a tool that you use. But there are some folks who never know what it's like because they will not plant their feet and get connected in a place. I would rather have my feet connected somewhere, have a heart connection. If the Lord told me to move back to Tennessee tomorrow, and I'm not going to lie to you, okay? It would be awfully hard not to start putting stuff together because the mountains in the spring, there's nothing like it. The mountains in the fall, there's nothing like it. Y'all forgive me. Y'all pray for me. I told you I'm not a spiritual, some of y'all, but I'm just telling you, y'all pray for me. But I'm telling you, there would be a definite void in my heart because this is my family. These are the people I love. These are the people I go to bat for. These are the people I make you mad, you make me mad, but at the end of the day, you know what? We love each other because God has put that into our hearts. Amen. I love y'all. I don't want to move because this is my family. And yes, I know the mountains call. They do. It's like, man, you take that truck out of the driveway. It's like, no, boy, no. We got to go west. We can't go south. I mean, he's just, you know, he's a Holman truck, a Holman van. Boom, he wants to go back to, yeah, you can do that. But folks who've never planted their feet in a church and folks who can just up and leave without batting an eye, without coming to talk to the pastor, talk to any counselor from the members, when they can just up and leave like that, that tells me they never had their feet planted firmly to start with. It was all about them, their ministry, whatever they could do. It's not about pouring into the church as a family. And folks, we've got to love each other. We want to serve together. And here's the thing, and I'm finishing up with this tonight, and I promise you this will be the last, this will be quick. There's a statement of fact. Everybody's got a gift. Everybody does. There's a statement of purpose, verse 25, for no division and to have care. There's a statement of feeling in verse number 26, that we suffer and rejoice with each other. But look at verse 27. Let's look at that. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. There is a statement of responsibility. The title tonight for tonight's message, here it is, Be the Church. Let the church be be the church. That's who we are. The church is, you know, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You knew this before I came here. The church is not the building. The church is the body, the people. The building burns down tonight. We meet at somebody's house Wednesday night. The church goes on. Church goes on. But as part of the body, we occupy our post. Whatever gift we have, we man our position. We obey our master. Do what he says to do. And we act like the children of the Most High. That's who we are. We be the church. We be the church. So the whole purpose of us looking at spiritual gifts is because we want to find out where everybody fits. Everybody fits. And you have been gifted something that this church needs. You have been. Amen. Amen. You have been. You don't want me rewiring the sign outside. You don't want me doing the church books. You don't want me doing that. Amen. You just don't want me doing that. You don't want me playing the piano. I know that breaks your heart to think that. God has blessed other people to be able to do those things. And God has blessed you with a particular gift. And as you exercise it and the body's edified, it will prepare us to rejoice with those who rejoice, to weep with those who weep, and help us to remember who we are by being the church, because we are the church. Amen. All right. Lord, I thank you tonight for helping us. I know it's been lengthy. Lord, you brought a lot of things to my mind in the middle here. And Lord, I've tried to be as honest as possible. Lord, there is a place in my heart. If you said go to Tennessee, I'd go yesterday. And at the same time, Lord, the thought of leaving these dear folks here if I could go to Tennessee and take them with me, Lord, that would be fine. If you could work that out, we could figure it out. We could figure out how to do it. And but Lord, we love each other. We care for each other. We struggle together, sometimes against each other, and I know that's just part of human nature. We struggle a little bit and maybe even strive together some. But Lord, at the end of the day, we love each other. We work together. We have a desire to see this church grow, see the folks here edified, to see other folks who come in who are unsaved be evangelized. But Lord, we just pray that you would bless us with your wisdom. Lord, as you've revealed unto us the way you've equipped us, help us to find our place in the body, to man our place, just like the folks in the days of Nehemiah, to take our spot on the wall, to build that wall, work together, and as we take care of our space and do our job, our position, Lord, the whole body will be helped. And Lord, I don't want any glory, and I don't believe any of the folks in here tonight want any glory, but Lord, you deserve all the glory. And Lord, we said some things tonight, and folks understood what I've said, and things like that. I've not tried to say anything, Lord, you know it, out of a mean heart, out of a mean spirit. But Lord, you've given us some definite directions in these passages that we've read tonight on how we are to conduct ourselves and be the church. I pray you'd help us as the church to be the church. And I pray that you'd bless us with wisdom on how to do that and to fulfill the will of God for our lives until we've finished it. So, Lord, we ask that you'd keep us safe tonight as we leave, and ask that you would bless us with safety on the road and whatever takes place, Lord, in the days ahead. We just ask for your wisdom and guidance. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. And we pray that you'd bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we'll say this. First of all, anybody got a word on anybody's heart?